we're not the ones with the expertise about the system. We have sort of limited amount of information, and rather than sort of, you know, just kind of throwing darts generally at our position is the applicant, the Port of Morrow, was in a position to say, here's, we recognize that there's a neighboring land use that is threatened by the application of our water, and here's what works for us and what will provide protections to the landowner. So that's our basic position. This, you know, kind of one of the low-hanging fruit or sort of most obvious things would be some setbacks, some limitations. That becomes effectively and practically difficult when you're talking about a pivot that goes in a circle and you know, monitoring the water that's coming out of it and how to do that. So, but yeah, sitting here right now, as far as suggestions, it would be some setback limitations. And in the packet that we submitted, there's specific, the applicant has identified the pivots by numbers, and attached, included within the letter that I submitted today, but also the public comments that were submitted in the DEQ proceeding, we've identified those pivot numbers consistent with what the applicant has identified down in their documentation as well.
And is what the port doing, is that enough to call it disinfected water?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay, because
that'd be a question, I think, for the applicant when they come back up. I'm sure they'll
Because it's, you know, the bond requirements apply to non-disinfected recycled water. So, but then you go into C and D, and there's so many, you know, I think you have to know.
My understanding is that subsection 3 is applicable to the water that's being delivered. We have another attorney that's assisting us on this. That's the has a specialty in the specifics of the clean water provisions.
And so, drinking water source for your employees is how far from the edge of the irrigation site?
To where their eastern pivots are, you're saying?
Yeah. Well, so, it just says there must be a minimum, if this is not, you know, it just depends on what class of water, but it says there must be a minimum 150 feet from the edge of the irrigation site to a water supply source used for human consumption.
We're about 20 feet off of our western border, and their pivots within 100 feet of their border.
And I don't know, it would be the pivot, it's not much as the spray.
Yeah, no, when the wind blows and I'm down with the cows working, I get wet.
Is that when the wind is blowing or just any time?
Yeah, when the wind's not blowing, it's the 5 days out of the year when the wind doesn't blow. It stays dry, but when the wind tunes up and comes out, it's pretty hard. They sit above us, and then it kind of goes down into our corral number 1 and corral number 8. So.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Your potable source, I think you have a house out there, so you have an employee or so. Do you test that water of that potable drinking
system? We have to test that water on a quarterly basis to maintain our permit.
Your CAFO permit.
Our CAFO permit, E. coli free, no salmonella. I think we're like less than 2.5 parts per million. But I employ about 22 people, and we provide nice housing to about 15 of them out there, and they drink out of the same well that we provide water for the cows and water inside the barn and stuff.
Just curious, do you test for nitrate, or have you had your well tested when the county and state was offering free testing?
Yeah, we test. That one's required once a year. We test for that.
Any idea what the levels are?
Yeah, like less than 2.5 parts per million.
Okay.
And our monitoring well has actually went 5 parts per million, and we've kind of gone against the grain, and we're down to 3 parts per million on our monitoring well, which is kudos to my guys and how we do stuff.
Any additional questions at this time? Okay. Did I have somebody online that was an opponent as well? Or did I make that up? Didn't somebody speak at some point?
I think somebody was talking.
Okay.
So you're inviting. Did you see other opposition?
Yeah, interest? That's what I was trying to. I thought somebody had said something. So any additional?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
At this time, I invite anybody who has neutral testimony or evidence. Hearing none, at this time, we invite the applicant back to present rebuttal testimony and final comments.
Again, for the record, Sarah Stauffer Curtis.
Beth Devitt, Fort Morrow.
I think we can address some of the issues and the questions that came up during the opposition testimony. I wanted to start first with the argument that the court failed to address some specific questions in the application form. There are some questions on that form. I'm looking at it right now on page 2 that talk about with the map, please describe the description of how the proposal would be compatible. There's something, issues about trees, et cetera. This is all in your packet.
It's on page 83 of your packet.
None of those, 84. However, are applicable approval criteria for this proposal. As the commissioners know, what you're allowed to do is consider whether the proposed use is complies with the applicable criteria. You can't add criteria to evaluate something. The standards for application of wastewater are set forth in the state statute. They're mirrored in the county code. That's what applies to the evaluation here. So I wanted to start there. I also wanted to, and this is something I'm going to hopefully, Miff, you can address this a little bit. There's a lot of commentary about the current use of the property that the port is purchasing. And the operations currently are not subject to the same rigorous requirements that the port will be subject to under its DEQ permit. So could you talk a little bit about some of the things that perhaps are, not occurring now that would be occurring once the court is applying its wastewater to that property?
Certainly. So currently the property is not underneath a capital permit like it used to be. Therefore, the operations that are currently happening and then runoff and other things that were discussed is obviously not going to be happening going forward when we actually take control and put our permit over the top of this, put the box and everything in place. Past stuff as well. I mean, when there are capital permits and whatnot, they do have criteria in there for runoff and other control that happen there, but this is an interesting piece of property with this history off of there, and how we will operate it going forward is not how it's going to be operated in the past.
And the port is also currently operating adjacent to the neighboring property, too. Can you explain that as well?
So the area that is being discussed here, their property is located approximately right in here, and our program already borders them on their southern border, and eventually here going to be on their eastern border. Technically, everything you see there labeled as Farm 4 is semi-up gradient of their current groundwater program and everything else. Farm 6, for the most part, is going to be not necessarily completely downgraded to them, other than, of course, the eastern borders and whatnot could potentially intermingle along with their operation as well, because that's how groundwater operates.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any other questions? There were also some questions about monitoring of the water. Can you describe some of the, at a very high level, the monitoring that will occur?
It's listed inside of the permits. There are multiple tables with the criteria we have to go inside there with nitrogen, total nitrogen. So we have to have all forms of nitrogen to go into that. That's not just in our processed water, it's also within the monitoring well systems we have to monitor, whether there's fluctuations or not, dependent on upgraded wells and downgraded wells. TDS, chloride, sulfates, pH, temperature, there's a whole table of criteria inside there that we have to sample for in the WPCF permit. And that goes for food processing water at its sources, as well as through our various treatment systems that go out to land application systems. So we have to monitor from the start to the finish, essentially. And we have to monitor the groundwater in addition to that.
It seems, sorry to interrupt, it seems kind of detrimental to your argument about adjacent farms, though, because there's only 5 pivots on 4, but it looks like you have quite a bit more pivots proposed on 6.
Well, there's a bit more than the 4 there. I mean, the map doesn't, I mean, try to simplify it so it shows a lot of white space. If you go over Earth and Farm 4 is very populated with circles out there.
It just doesn't show everything.
No, we tried to just make it as simplified as possible. You get into a GIS map and everybody gets super confused at it. So
what's the date of your base of your background map? Might be kind of old. It doesn't show.
Probably a little bit ancient. Yes, I wasn't going for like circle application because you can kind of see like farm 6 there has square blocks, which is probably the signature of the tree farm.
Because the current GIS map shows these are all in circles.
We were just trying to go for boundaries.
And I was going to ask, too, is it 3 Mile Dairy? 3 Mile Dairy?
3 Mile Canyon Farms.
3 Mile Canyon Farms. How do you have any waste discharge pivots within proximity of that farm?
That's too far to the left.
Okay.
Other side of the... Yeah.
So can you tell me, they don't give definitions on this, so... The non, is it what you're doing enough to have it considered disinfected water versus non-disinfected water?
Can I kick that to Michael?
Yeah, okay.
So my colleague, Michael Campbell, is on the line, online, and he's our wastewater expert, and I would prefer to bring him on to answer the questions related to the OER. So if we can, I don't know if he's muted, but Michael, the question relates to the definitions in OER 340.055.
Yeah, the recycle, I think C and D would be the ones that are would want to know. B and A seems pretty simple. And what is the definition of disinfected recycled water?
Good evening, Commissioner. I'm Michael Campbell. I'm a service partner at Stoll Reeves. Address is 760 Southwest 9th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97205, Suite 3000. The short answer to the question is that all of those regulations do not apply to the wastewater that the port is allowed to accept. Those regulations apply only to sanitary wastewater, so sewage treatment plants, animal waste. The port, as Miff said, is not allowed to take that water under its permit. So none of those regulations apply. Those regulations are intended to prevent disease from, again, sewage treatment plants. That's why those are so strict. The only water that the port is allowed to accept is cooling water and food processing wastewater. In fact, the permit sets forth the specific sources that the port is allowed to accept water from and specific types of wastewater from those sources. So none of those regulations would apply to the port.
So you don't consider it recycled water?
It's not recycled water under those regulations. The definitions in that section of the DEQ regulations define recycled water as human and animal waste recycled from human and animal waste. It's really intended for municipal treatment plants that land apply their wastewater.
So where did you say we could find the definition of recycled water? Not being, I mean, this water not being human or animal, that it doesn't apply to this?
It's in the definitions of that chapter of the OAR. It's in 340, 55, section 10.
I don't think I have that.
Since, like you said, currently it's not under any testing, and the tests that you guys run, do you, upon request, you give those to the neighboring landowners, the results of the testing?
As far as what we test on the WPC permit?
Yeah.
It's public information.
Oh, I live in a dry land farm. I and my water comes from the sky. So.
we're a public entity, and it's a public
so that way. Is it is it easy to get? I guess I should ask that question. Depends on how easy. Yeah.
And those results are also submitted to DEQ on what is the cadence for that? Is it
monthly, quarterly, and annually?
Often.
Not very often. Your farm number four, number five, how long has that port been putting water on those?
Four came in online around 2017. Five. I'm a little squeaky on that date. Michael might be able to chime in, but I want to say 2021, roughly.
And they're maxed out now, where you can't apply water on this winter. Is that correct? Okay.
I can apply on this winter.
Yeah, okay. Yep. I was thinking that you said you couldn't.
Just this winter.
Correct. And that all farms after this winter cease operations on November 1st of 2025.
I must have missed this summer. What is the actual product you're getting?
The crop?
Oh, the crop,
yeah.
There is a whole host of them in an aluminum plant, so I am not limited to any crop. I can apply to anything that DEQ approves. So currently, you name a crop, and it's probably on my agronomic rate list.
So why do you have to stop putting it on there in the wintertime after that year?
The state views winter application to be a fairly troubled process to go through. I mean, it is rather rough. It takes this amount of land application to actually spread out far enough, and you put the moisture content, precipitation, and other winter issues that you have inside there. It is fairly complex to get it down there. They have restrictive rules over the years. So 2017, the new rules that came into effect restricted how winter can go down. That made our acres obviously expand further off of that, and it just continues to be that way. So going forward, as of recently with those new permit modifications and stuff we've been going through here recently, it just was decided that our application going forward was easier to cease versus to sit here and try to go more and more conservative and try to chase the never-ending expansion.
Is it because of potential contamination?
You betcha.
So, like, until a method says tank wash wastewater, what does their wastewater from their washes and the cooling water from your blow down
so
and coyote and what are
those tanks are typically for temperature regulation control, so they try to cool down the water drive to go into the wastewater because we obviously don't want hot water in pipes. Those tanks are primarily to control temperature, and then they wash out those tanks and flush them out. And then Tidal Springs purposes, I mean, you're talking about a power plant, so it's cooling water that makes steams come out of their boilers and generates power, and it comes back to us for the Annapolis compared to food processing water.
So like the Tillamook cheese, what's in their tank wash?
Their tank wash would be a bit different. So you get into their stainless steel tanks and wash them out with enzymes to keep bacteria content low or non-existent because they're processed. There is nothing in there besides whey product or waste milk or what comes out of collecting there or disinfecting the product, taking bacteria counts to not detect. So, I mean, that's probably more detailed than you want.
No, I mean, I'm just still back to this OAR because I don't have the definitions of everything. So, you know, I would like to see that too. I mean, I would personally like to see it to make sure that. I know you're lawyers and it's legal and it's all that, but you know, you're getting conflicting from each one, so it'd be nice to actually see that documentation in its entirety of the OAR or be able to look it up.
Any additional questions for the applicant?
She might, I don't know if she's
finished. There's no additional question, but I just might have a couple comments. We appreciate all the questions tonight, and we hope we're able to answer some of those. The port, as you know, this is a really critical project for the port, and as I think is evidenced by these DEQ permits, this proposal is reviewed in detail at the state level, by the agency that is charged with evaluating all of the technical details. And the request by the port tonight would be for you to take that into consideration, focus on the land use standards that are before you, and to approve this application. Thank you.
So what do you guys, just one quick question, so what do you guys plans to protect the dairy? I mean, you kind of went over, you'll shut them off, but what are your plans that the owners would feel comfortable with? How do you keep your neighbor friendly and your neighbor?
Well, one of the things that was offered tonight was a buffer, and that's not something that the port can offer. I think based on the nature of the proposal here, it's not a matter of, you know, a simple land use application where we can simply say we're not going to operate within 5 feet of the fence. We're not able to do that. The port has met with the neighboring landowner, has heard your concerns, has provided a lot of information. I think that you've heard tonight that there is a lot of monitoring and a whole program in place to ensure that there aren't impacts to neighboring properties. This is something that's monitored heavily by DEQ. There's conditions in place to ensure that that does not occur. Beyond that, I think that, that this is the application and the request before you is to confirm that this is consistent with the local land use ordinance, and it is. There's all the evidence in the application demonstrates that it is consistent with the local standards.
Okay, any additional questions? Okay, at this time, I ask if anyone would like to continue the hearing or hold the record open. I thought I had a request.
Just as Mustafa Curtis has their expert witness on the regulatory questions that you have, we have an attorney that we're relying on that and would like an opportunity to respond to, have him have an opportunity to respond to what Mr. Campbell said.
Okay.
So
what is I don't know the dates.
Yeah, so your request is to keep the record open or continue the hearing or both?
Keep the record open.
And continue the hearing, right?
Yeah, if we keep the record open, we really have to continue the hearing.
Yeah. Yeah.
We can't make a, yeah.
Okay, then both, yeah.
Okay.
And I motion that we do that. We continue, keep it open and continue the hearing. Allow us to do.
We don't have to.
If he requests it, we don't have to motion it.
By law, you have to automatically grant a continuance after.
Perfect.
Because this is the first quasi-judicial hearing, but we do need to state the date, time, and location, and we anticipated that might be a request, so I unplugged Michaela, so let's see, 2 weeks from tonight is, where's my bag, November 12th, right?
Oh, yeah.
So that works for us internally. That would be November 12th. And we could do that in Irrigan if that worked for people.
I cannot do November 12th.
Okay, we would just need a quorum.
It's just that I have city council.
Okay. We usually do Tuesday evenings.
Oh, I already have my calendar.
You already have it in your calendar. We did talk about that.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
What is...
But we only have a certain amount of days. What is our... That's what our date requirement is. I can never remember.
It has to be at least 7 days.
Less than 7 days.
So, what's another date? I mean, we could look at another date of the week, or we could go to the following Tuesday.
Whatever works best for staff is really...
I can do any day but the 12th.
So I'm just looking at rearranging my schedule. We could do it. We don't want to do the 11th. That's Veterans Day. We could do the 13th, or we could bump out to the 19th.
I should do the 19th. That would be
okay.
Yeah, because I don't have school board that night. Because we don't have any.
Okay.
As long as it keeps us within our
things. Yeah, and I did the calendaring, so we're well within our 150-day timeline. Okay, so if you agree to continue the hearing to November 19th at 6 p.m. at the North Morrow Annex Building in Irrigan, what's the address?
215 Northeast Main Avenue.
Yeah.
Okay. So...
And you just close the public hearing, but then you would reopen.
Reopen it. So at this point, we will close the public hearing and we'll reopen November 19th, 6 p.m. in Irrigan.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So this is what happens when you don't get work.
I know. Maybe we should send you tabbies or something.
So.
That will be the only item on the agenda, so it won't be too late.
If we don't have a meeting that.
We don't. Yeah, that's right. The tradition has been to combine November and December. We do have items on the December agenda, though. For sure.
All right. Our next, so we have that, we move that forward. Other business, we noted that Fisher Killian has stepped down from her and appreciate her time on here. The planning is update is in here if anyone had questions. At this time, we do have time for public comments. If you have public comment, rules are the same. Step forward, name, address.
Neil Baker, 70751 East Wilson Lane, Durban, Oregon. What I'm here about, I want to take a few minutes and I don't want to waste your time, but this letter I got in the mail.
Okay, you also have to know we don't see that, so this is new to us. Just to let you know.
Well, it's a warning about code violations.
Okay.
I'll start a little bit about myself. I moved to Boardman 2 weeks before I turned 6. I've lived here in Morrow County ever since, on the same piece of property I live on now. I've never had a complaint or a problem in that 60 years. But you got a new code enforcement officer that decided to come hang over my fence and look for problems. I have quite a few automobiles on my property. She called them nuisance automobiles, but I would like to know if there's ever been a complaint. Because without a complaint, they're not a nuisance. And they've been there before these codes were done, so they should be grandfathered in anyway. Most of them, almost all of them, are antiques. They're part of my collection. Everybody's allowed to do that. I don't know when the county started thinking they needed to be an HMO. I'm supposed to have private property rights to do with what I want. I pay taxes every year. That's not rent to the county. That doesn't mean the county owns my property to be the owner, tell me what I have to do. I don't know what I can do about this. One of them that's on here was about some weeds. I mow 90% of my property. I've got a string mower, a weed eater, and I weed eat almost everything else. The only thing I've ever heard is people will stop me down at the store around town, ask if I own that property on top of the hill. I've got 2 acres of pine trees that are about 40 foot tall now, right by the Catholic Church. And I say, yes, I do. And they tell me, we just love your place. We love driving by it. It looks so manicured and so perfect. That's what I hear. I've never heard a complaint of any kind. So I want to know why the code enforcement officer is going out looking for problems and making problems where there aren't any.
That is a staff thing. That's a staff question. And we that is the best to bring that into the staff. I can't tell you that.
So the Planning Commission does not adjudicate code violations. That goes to the Justice Court.
Who voted the codes in? I know I didn't vote on any.
Yeah. So again, they don't really have any jurisdiction to take action on your code and violation letter. You can come in and talk to me, and you can talk to the code enforcement officer.
I tried talking to her. I don't want to see her again.
Okay, so then if you don't comply with that, then you can go talk to the Justice Court Judge Deal.
Part of what doesn't make sense to me, most of it doesn't, says in here that if I buy car covers and cover them all, then it's legal. Why should I have to spend thousands of dollars to buy car covers when it doesn't make any difference?
Was that in our code, or was that something she said?
That's right in here. Okay. See it?
I would be happy to visit with you, but this is not the proper forum to deal with your violation. I think they're important issues to raise. I'm glad you raised them. I won't be in the office tomorrow, but I'll be available Thursday afternoon or Friday if you want to come in and visit about it.
Up here?
No, in the Aragon office.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wish I'd have known that before I sat here for 4 hours to be able to get up and talk for a minute. I don't know how this stuff works.
Well, I'll spend some time with you. If you call the office tomorrow, Michaela will have my schedule just so you and I don't miss each other and we can talk about that.
Make sure the code officer's not bothering somebody else. I don't want to see her.
I'll meet with you. Other people will be in the building, but anyway, I'm happy to visit with you.
All right.
Thank you.
When you guys decide to make this stuff, you got to think about the people that own the property too. Remember, you guys are my employees because I'm one of your bosses.
Well, I'm just gonna let you know I don't get paid, so.
you're still, whether you're getting paid or not, you're still representing the county.
Yeah. All right. I look forward to visiting with you. Anything else?
No, I don't think so.
Can I introduce our new? Yes. I'm sorry, we got here.
We made him a new tech guy today.
We did. Well, he actually comes with some tech background. So Clint Shoemake is our new planner. So this is the start of his third week. So you'll be seeing more of Clint.
Pleasure to meet everybody. Looking forward to working with you, county.
Yeah. And Daisy.
I can wait.
She's going to make us mad.
Mm-hmm.
Just walk outside right now, Daisy.
Mm-hmm. What?
Am I at this gavel? Is that why you're hiding behind him?
We're gonna be moving at the end of November back to England. I'm gonna take some time off and go back and get my master's. I was talking to Tamara. We're still working on it, but we're gonna hopefully put together a proposal to bring to the board, the administrator, to talk about continuing on like a contract basis. So I'll be able to do some things without having the sort of full-time workload.
And she won't have to see us every day.
Wow. I think that's the best part.
Right?
Well, seeing us or not seeing us. Yeah, I know, right? Okay.
We have plenty of time to adjust to it and plan for it.
Three full weeks.
I was just going to say, you do know today is like the 29th, right, of October.
Yeah.
Fine.
I know.
It's a hard decision, but I think it's
good. So you've done an excellent job, so if we can figure out a way to something.
Duplicate
would be great, but if we can figure out a way to make it continued. I wanted to say I used to have a completely different idea of workforce and how you worked with employees and where they had to be located than I do now.
Mm-hmm. A lot removed. Well, thank you for that. I know. I'm still sort of speechless. I'm still
Yeah.
So, all right, cool. We are adjourning.
Okay, thank you.
Did you see the sheriff deputy out there?
Yeah, recording that might get on her.
Yeah, no, I was good. I was glad about that, but first I was like,
not the first time I said, well, you guys just pop in and show us your face and. That was a lot of work. Yeah. Well done, everybody.
Who brought this?
It was. Well, I have a copy. Those are probably extras.
Yeah, I was just wanting to check the act.
Oh, I think so. I may have marked on my. No, I think we're good.
Mine's so out of order. Well, I couldn't find my iPad, and then I found it.
Oh, no.
That's like 4% when I'm like that.
You know, there's something about the paper copy and when we refer
on
to the page.
Things like
and the
this, because there's so much. And that's the hard part that for me, when they bring all that stuff, then I'm like, I can't get
too
much.
Yeah.
I know.
Does that mean your husband's moving to